morning. Our reading for today is on Ephesians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurable more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have given us a good day, a good weather to worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for your words that have been read today. Indeed, by just reading it, we are already blessed. And how much more when we hear the message to be delivered this morning. And so we are praying for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Help us to open our eyes that we may be able to see Jesus, and to open our ears so that we may be able to listen your words, and open our hearts that we may be able to accept it and apply it in our lives. Lord, we are praying that you will also guide our pastor as he delivered to us today your words, your message. And we are committing to you the rest of the morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. This morning, while our brother was reading, I was thinking of the message about knowledge or light. Once again, I thought of examples. And I just remembered my wife's comments this morning, who she said to me, you know, the doctor gave me these pills, and he said that they may help. And as a matter of fact, when you read or you ask doctors about the effect of this medication, they will say, oh, this is great. But she said, so far, I haven't felt any change. So that's what is important then. What is important is the change in us when we do something or we take a pill or whatever that we are using to change our life. The evidence should be there. And then I thought of, in the electronic business, you see these beautiful looking computers now, or little handheld MP3s, or whatever. And you know, one of the things that people are always looking for is the battery. And no matter how well built that machine is, no matter how wonderful that computer or television is, one needs is life. And that life is a battery. Over 2 billion people claim to be Christians or followers of Christ, or have declared their religion or faith as Christian. And yet, not all, if not most, don't know really who Jesus is or what God has to do with their faith. A few days ago, another example, and I'm using my wife again as an example, is when she came to me and she said, you know, I went to this Chinese Vietnamese lady, and she goes there for some kind of treatment, and then when the lady talked about her son, she said his name was David, and my wife says, oh, David, and that is a biblical name. Do you know who David was? And the lady says, now the lady is Buddhist, but her husband is Catholic and Christian, or at least he claims to be Christian. Anyways, the lady said, oh, David, my husband told me that David was a young boy who killed a monster. And my wife said, then? She says, I don't know, that's all I know, that David was a young boy who killed a monster. And then my wife took time to explain, to tell her the story about who David was. And while she was going out, I believe she spoke to the man who knew nothing about who David was, other than that he was a young boy who killed a monster. And I believe there are a lot of Christians who are like that. All they know is that there is a God, there is Jesus, there is Panagia, or there is a Madonna, or there is Mary, and these things, and yet there is no life in there. If God is in your life or in the life of a Christian, that life will be different. People know many stories from the Bible, but very little know God. And there are those who know what the Bible teaches and what the biblical doctrines are, and they believe in God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the prophecies. They have read or heard all kinds of theories about Christian faith, and they may be good teachers or preachers, and yet they do not know who and how to live their life. They have knowledge but no Christian joy and life. They have knowledge but not Christian joy and life. And I believe Christianity has failed as a religion. And I have to be very careful here, because I don't want to say that Christianity, the Christian faith, has failed, but what has failed is the Christian organized religion. Because what they've done is they've given a lot of preaching and teaching and a lot of theories and a lot of doctrines and a lot of theology. And we have those who call themselves, I am a Christian A, I am a Christian B, I believe in this doctrine, I believe in that doctrine. When people call me sometimes to find out about our church, their first questions are doctrinal questions rather than who we are and what we stand for. They will ask for the translation of the Bible, they will ask which doctrine we follow, they will ask about eschatology, the end times, they will ask about prophecies, and they have so much knowledge that when they start talking, I really admire the knowledge, and yet when we continue the conversation, I realize something is missing. And I believe that a lot of us may know people who know the Bible well, who can quote verses, and yet there is something missing. Yes, it is very important to know who God is and what His Word says and what the biblical doctrines are, but all that will be only theory, knowledge, but not life. We have to move from information to real life and the sensation, the feeling, the knowledge that God lives in us. We have pastors and preachers and elders and deacons who will give you all kinds of explanations and interpretations about biblical doctrines. And yet, when you get a little closer to them and you look at their life at home and work, you realize that Christ is not being reflected. The sensation of being a Christian is not there. To know that you are a Christian, to know that God is at work in you, is something that only comes when He is in your life. And there are many of you who may be going through a difficult period of time. Loneliness is something that really is everywhere. And I meet people, and I have friends who are lonely. They have no one at home, and yet they follow a religion. They follow any religion, and not only Christian. And religion has taken over their life, and yet they don't find what they are searching for. Paul told believers in Ephesus that we now have access to God through Jesus Christ in boldness and confidence. I believe we have to really believe that God is where Jesus said He is, in heaven, but also everywhere. And we have to be bold, not arrogant, but bold, meaning that knowing that God is there, go to Him in prayer. Some believers have misunderstood confidence and boldness and have become demanding and arrogant in their attitudes. Christianity or religion in general has become a tool in the hands or a service available to those who need something or want something. And so they will do all kinds of things. Light candles, pray to icons, stand up in the church, or whatever turns their spirituality on, they will do to get something out of God. And the reality of the Bible is that God is a living person, spirit, who once you invite Him in your life, then He helps you continue this life and journey. And yet, listen to Paul's words in Ephesians 3:14. I bow my knees before the Father, and I pray that you may not lose heart. He says, I bow my knees. He does not say that I demand God. I shout to God. Although there are verses that say that shout and sing praises, that's not the same as demanding from God. And I've heard preachers and pastors who will say, God has promised. He's got to keep the promise. Just hold Him responsible for His promises. I'm going to hold God responsible for His promises. Right. I have the authority to do that. Well, some preacher told me I can and I will. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that even Jesus Himself, when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was sweating blood. Because He was in agony. When we go to God in prayer, we have, yes, the privilege. Yes, we have the right to go to Him, but we must not forget that He is God. He is our Creator. And as Apostle Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, and I pray that you may not lose heart. It's easy to lose heart. It is easy to get discouraged. You have some kind of pain that won't go away. Your family is not doing well. The children are rebelling. Your wife is not happy. Your husband is not happy. You've lost your job. You've got pain. You cannot walk. And you lose heart. You become very discouraged. And Apostle Paul says he is praying. He was praying for those Christians. And I believe we must also come to our knees in prayer and pray for each other and pray for His guidance and intervention in our lives. Apostle Paul reminded the Ephesians about God's glorious riches and power in us through the Holy Spirit in us. The power here is not some kind of a supernatural power to perform spectacular miracles, but it is the spiritual strength and vigor needed to be mature, stable, and intelligent Christian. I believe a Christian should be mature and strong and stable and intelligent enough to know what is right and what is wrong. I believe many of us have either a phobia about God, or and others have this arrogant attitude about God. But the truth is, yes, we must fear God when we sin, and yet we must know also that God is willing to forgive and strengthen us. And God is willing to not only strengthen us, but help us walk this journey, even when we go through the valley of death. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives the power. Of course, He can give us strength only as we feed on the Word of God, as we breathe the pure air of prayer, and as we serve Him daily. And I thought of the example of my next door neighbor who has moved away. He was a notary. He was paraplegic and he could not walk. He could not even breathe at the end of his stay near our home. He had something in his nostrils and a pipe, a long pipe going to the next room that would bring oxygen. And he needed oxygen to survive. He needed oxygen to make his body function. And if someone wanted to harm him, he would just go and turn off the oxygen. And I believe we Christians are connected, should be connected with that oxygen line to God. That line is vital. It's very important. You shut it off and you run out of oxygen, and eventually you get weaker and weaker. And I believe knowledge may be there. Knowledge is, I believe, in God, the oxygen tank. But we need to bring God's knowledge in us and not our own understanding of things. The inner man must be renewed day by day, even though the outer man is perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." I believe that God's grace there is enough grace and love and compassion in God to help us go through this life, even in difficulties. Remember when Apostle Peter was in prison and everything seemed to be so dark. He was chained, his feet, his hands, and he was there to be judged the following day. Anyone of us, anyone here, would have been despairing. But he was singing. He was singing joyfully, and the joy was so apparent that the jailer came and said, "What's happening?" And this is how we Christians should live our lives. That means that when you are going through a difficult period of time, still that joy should be reflected. The inner person, the inner change should be reflected with the way we act and talk. The more we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit, the more we will reflect Him in our daily lives. And I believe one of the problems is that we talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. There are those who talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and others who are saying that I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and those who believe that the Holy Spirit is there when you are born again, and all these things are okay, but when there is no evidence of the Holy Spirit being in you, then all it is up there, knowledge. And I believe if you claim to have the Holy Spirit in you, then that becomes life, not knowledge. You may go to 100 Bible studies, you may read 100 books, you may listen to 100 messages, you may follow someone's preaching or teaching or studies all day long, and yet if that only stays in your brain and doesn't reach down to your heart, it doesn't give you life. Life comes only from the reality of the presence of God in your life. Have you ever considered the dimensions of God's love for the human race, for us? And this is a big question, and yet it's very important. Have you ever considered the dimension of God's love for the human race, for us? Apostle Paul's prayer in verse 17 to 19 says, puts it this way. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all fullness of God. It says, surpasses all knowledge. To understand the dimension of God's love, let's look at the following verses. These examples. Width. How wide is Christ's love? The world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Τόσο αγάπησε ο Θεός τον κόσμο. That means He loved so much the world, the people. And if you don't understand that, then you will have difficulties in understanding what Christianity is. If we don't understand that God the Father loved the world so much, the people, cosmos, that's where the word cosmopolitan comes. Not the earth, not only some on this earth, but He loved every human being on this earth, that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus. He, God Himself, came to this earth. That's how wide His love is. And then Apostle Paul says, talks about the length. The length is forever. Never, love never fails. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, we read, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. His love is everlasting. Verse 3:16 once again says, for whosoever believeth in Him, or believes in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Aeonia means forever. Again, unless we understand that, we will not understand what Christianity is. Unless we understand how much God loved the people on this earth, and unless we got for how long His offer is for, we won't really understand. And Christianity will be only another religion that offers all kinds of stuff on this earth, and yet a hope for the future, if there is a future. But that's not what the Bible is about. And if God has created, and I believe has created each one of us, and if God is what the Bible says He is, and I believe God is what the Bible says He is, and if God loved the world so much, and I believe that the Bible has the truth when He says God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that He created a situation that man can be saved. And unless we understand these things, it's only head knowledge to say, okay, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Protestant, I'm a Catholic, I'm whatever I am. That does not do anything to your soul unless God comes into my life and takes over my life. Then Apostle Paul talks about the depth, and Philippians 2:8 says, death on the cross, actually. And I quote, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." Now, I know a lot of men and women have given their lives for their loved ones. I know that people will take care of their loved ones or their friends. They may even give money or give a... But here we see that Jesus, who was holy, was willing to die on the cross and take our sins on him, so we can have eternal life. Again, unless we believe this, and unless this becomes a reality, then Christianity is just another religion. Height. How high? Heaven. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Again, unless we believe these words, and unless we believe that when we die or when He comes, we will be in His presence and we will be glorified. This is big stuff. It's not promises about some kind of a nice house or some kind of different situation where we'll enjoy physical pleasures and things like that many religions offer. It's not like some Christians who believe that eternity is not ours to think of. Religion is only for this world here. If our faith was only for here, then I believe all of us would be fools to waste our time. Would be foolish for you all to come Sunday morning. You could have stayed home and watched television, eat, or have a picnic, to come to church. It would be foolish for me to sit down and write a message and pray and do things to come here and stand before you. It would be foolish unless we believe in an eternity, unless we believe life after death. And if we believe this, then what we go through on this earth is nothing in comparison of eternity in heaven with Him and in His presence. To know about God and Jesus is knowledge, but to experience His love and His fullness is life. Joy, peace, and the assurance of eternal life in His presence. The difference between knowledge is life, and life is like the difference between these plastic trees and the trees we have in our garden. The one that is in our garden, the trees go through a difficult period of time. During the winter, their leaves fall, they look miserable, cold, dead, and yet there is life in them. That's how it is with a Christian. We may look sometimes like miserable, and yet because there is life, we come alive. But these plastic trees look always the same, lifeless, forever. They will be the way they are. And I believe that's how it is with the Christians who claim to have a religion, and yet there is no life. Knowledge out there. Someone said that the distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches or 12 inches, depending how tall you are, I think. It's between the head and the heart. Because the head knowledge does not save anyone, but the heart is the one that reflects Christ and the change in our heart. So I believe that Bible studies are very good, and I invite you all to come. And workshops are very good. Tapes are very good. DVDs could be very good. And yet, if that is only head knowledge, you're wasting your time. If you're coming here is only to enjoy something, whatever that might be, or because you feel you should come, but your heart has not been surrendered to God, and there is no life. You are like the television or computer that is so good, has so much knowledge. The little chips in there have so much knowledge. All they need is someone to plug it in, or a battery to be plugged in and someone to turn it on, or else you are like a dead computer. And I believe any Christian who has all that knowledge accumulated in his brain and yet has not sunk into the heart, has not traveled to the heart, is like that. My prayer is, for me at least, that daily to reflect Christ living in me. I want to say less and reflect more Christ. I want to live a life that won't need witnesses to say that I'm a Christian. And I'll close with this. If you are arrested of being a Christian, will there be any evidence that you are? Or you have to prove to someone that you're a Christian? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the ability you have given us to think. And we thank you for the knowledge you have put around us. And yet, Lord, all this knowledge and all these theories and all these doctrines and all these theologies will not bring anyone closer to you. There's only one way. There's only one truth. And there's only one life. And this is you, Lord. Help each one of us to get closer to you. Help us to do a house cleaning and remove anything that is not from you, and only allow the things that come from you to stay in our heart. I ask all these things in your blessed name. Amen.